101.9 FM KVSH. It is 10:19 here on the Morning Scramble with Jeff and Cindy Hoyt, and we welcome to the studio Kat Eggleston and Charlotte Tinkin.
Yay!
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so nice to have you both here.
They've come to talk about the new musical that Kat is putting on and that Charlotte's directing. It's tomorrow night and Saturday night at Whitehall, or VCA, whichever you prefer.
Whitehall, isn't that name?
England? I like calling it Whitehall, though.
It is.
It's shorter, and that's what people like.
Well, the Catherine L. Whitehall for the whatever they call it
performing is performing arts.
It's a little lengthy.
Center for the Performing Arts, too. Mm-hmm. It's VCA, or it gets so mixed up.
It is the Cyclone Line, and it is happening Friday and Saturday night at 7:30. $18 general admission, $16 for old folks like us, and $14 for VCA members and students. The Cyclone Line is a story about Kat's dad.
Sort of.
In a way.
First of all, can I just ask you something I've always wanted to ask you, Jeff?
Yeah.
I mean, is your voice ever as actually soothing to you as it is to the rest of us? So when you hear yourself talk like you were doing through a crisis, does it ever actually calm you down like it calms everybody else down?
Well, if you had been listening to me last night during the 8th, 9th, and 10th innings of the Cubs game, you would have thought, there's nothing calm about this guy.
I understand.
I was totally going downstairs.
But thank you for
remember
that.
Remember your audiobook narration. You can't make yourself hoarse over this.
You have a living to make.
It's just awesome.
So your dad and his life during the Oklahoma Dust Bowl years is a centerpiece of this story, but there's more to it than just that.
The way I've been describing it is that it's the Dust Bowl from the viewpoint of a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And as that kid becomes an old man and that past is right in front of him again. So it's really more about the Dust Bowl than it is about my father, except that he's the vehicle for it. And he was such a great personality to show and to tell the stories. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's not a perspective we often get.
No.
Because it would have been completely different experienced from the eyes of a child.
Yeah. It certainly was, and so that was the whole point of trying to say it this way, you know. After all those years of writing those songs that you've so generously played on your show about the Dust Bowl, I mean, it was never quite so real to me until Dad started talking about it.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because so many people, like war veterans, often wait until they're very late in life before they start sharing these stories. My dad waited until I thought he saw no action in World War II. And then toward the end of his life, he started talking. Mm-hmm. And I realized he saw a lot of action, and way more than I ever realized. And our fathers tend to put that stuff away. Was your dad talking stories about the Dust Bowl from your young year? It was later in life that he started to talk about it.
Well, it wasn't his dementia that brought it on. It was Woody Guthrie.
Uh-huh.
And all of that is, I talk about all of that in the play, about how common it is for people who have seen something that is called unspeakable. It's called unspeakable for a reason, and so they just don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we all know people who whose parents were involved in the Holocaust. They were in camps. They saw it one way or another, and they were never told anything about it, on and on and on. The resistance, my best friend's mother was a child in France.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never heard anything about it, and they never heard anything about it from their grandmother, who was there. That kind of thing.
And the Blitz in London. Yeah, all
and
of
the Blitz.
That.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of books written about those
and
things.
And movies made.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there's something about being close to somebody and watching them go through it again. So that's what I've been trying to put in this. You know,
and Charlotte, you're directing this play and have directed many, many plays, including a couple of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So you were something of a driver for the notion of turning this story into a play.
Yeah, this all started when Kat and I met. I think we first met at the VCA. I mean, at the VCC, Vachon Communicare, mm-hmm. because her father was at the VCC for just a little bit, and my mom is still at the VCC, and they both have dementia issues. And so we started talking to each other about, oh, you're going through the same thing I'm going through. And we met for coffee one day, and she started telling me these stories about her dad, and I was like, well, Kat, this is a play. You know, and that.
That's how it happened, yeah, for sure.
And so we started talking. This was like a year and a half ago, maybe, mm-hmm, 2 years ago.
It was a year and a half.
Yeah. So so we started working on it. And she started writing and sending me stuff and going back and forth. And
did it start out as a play about your father's experiences? Or because it's really kind of morphed since then into a larger play about much more than just your dad or the Dust Bowl?
We always wanted to make it something more than just about her dad, because it is about the human experience, about what we were just talking about, how so many people find out late in their parents' life, like what you were saying about my father. Your father is the same thing with my father. My dad never talked about his World War II experience until very late in life, when I realized that he was part of one of the people who released prisoners from the concentration camps in Germany, and I didn't know that until very late. So we wanted it to be a bigger picture than just this. And it's a story about dementia. It's a story about dealing with dementia and about being the caregiver for your parent. It's a story about the conservation issues and the fact that what I didn't realize about the Dust Bowl, that it was not just a God given event that happened.
An act of God.
That it was a man-made event as well. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about that.
We don't. We're not told that, and we should be told that, especially nowadays, you know. So, I mean, environmentalists have called it the worst man-made weather disaster of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
All they did was to plow up the prairie grass, and that set everything in motion.
And from what I understand, because I was taught about it growing up in Oklahoma.
Right.
The lesson we took away, too, is if you're going to plow up the prairie grass, don't plow in the direction of the prevailing wind.
Yeah, 90 degrees is better.
Right. And perpendicular.
Yeah, so the wind could just pick up those rows of dirt and just turn them into a wall of dust.
Which reached all the way to D.C.,
Yeah, that's in the play too.
Did your dad only see those Dust Bowl years for the misery they created, or did he find some moments from those years, as many do in the face of horror, they find positives,
especially children.
Mm-hmm.
They find, for instance, bluebirds and ice cream and pretending to be in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
As you know.
Yeah.
So those moments are in there. Dad was very good about doing that kind of thing. Just moments of things. He was also so ADD that his moments of hyperfocus really served him, I think.
Yeah.
So I hope that comes across in the show anyway, but there is one moment, for instance, when I'm trying to kind of talk him down from a bad moment and look at what he's drawing, and he's drawing the bluebirds that he suddenly remembers that he hadn't thought about for forever.
Yeah.
You know, and his memory was always kind of like that. It always sort of worked like that. Mm-hmm. But then when all the bad stuff started to come up, then he would start drawing these pictures of things. He always talked about that horse that the guy was trying to sell for $100 and how beautiful it was and things like that. It was amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing?
Well, that was Dad's favorite phrase. Isn't that amazing?
Well, in humanity, I mean, I don't think we would still exist if we didn't find or create moments of happiness and joy, even in the middle of the worst possible conditions. Because I don't know, looking at it from a distance as we do today, since we're not living in one of the places where you're looking at it way up close, even today. Just the idea that someone still in the middle of all that could go, ice cream, mm-hmm, or look, someone's picking up a guitar and let's sing, and all of the things that make our spirit feel like it's worth pushing through for this.
You guys, that is the best question I think I've heard about this. That's really, really interesting, because I did try to put that in there.
Yeah, you did. You totally did. And that's one of the things I love about it. And the poem that her father loved poetry, and there's a poem that he especially loved that is in the play about I will hold beauty as a shield. And that's,
Well, tell us a little bit about how the play is actually staged. It's not just you on stage. You have another actor with you.
Yeah, I do.
And he's playing your father?
He is.
Uh-huh.
Who
is it?
His name is Brian Gunter.
Uh-huh.
He's an old friend of mine that I worked on a show in Chicago with him.
Uh-huh.
In the 90s. It was Woody Guthrie's American Song, the one that got this whole thing started. When that same show had been out here in the 80s, Dad saw it, and that's how he got started talking. So there's a whole bunch of full circle things here. And then I kind of got to know the cast and the playwright, and I ended up being understudy, a swing understudy for that show. And Brian was one of the Woody Guthrie characters in that, the main one. And he was just incredibly brilliant and wonderful musician, too, although we don't see that here. But I've known him forever. And then I saw him out here in Seattle at a few shows. He would come up and say hello. And so he was the first person I thought of to do this. And I think Charlotte would agree he's amazing.
Yeah. He actually plays Al from the time he was a young boy, 10, 11, 12 years old, to when he's a 90-year-old man. And so he does his entire life. Mm-hmm. And he's just so brilliant to watch. It's incredible.
That transformation.
He's wonderful, yeah.
Well, Charlotte, I know you've got a thing at 10:30. Do you need to check out, or can you stay a couple more minutes? I was going to ask Kat if she could play a song.
I'd love to hear Kat play. The other thing I want to say is that this is, it's not really a musical. It's more like a play with music. The thing that first attracted me to doing this play was that Kat had written these songs about the Dust Bowl and about her father that just, the first time I heard Rain, I just cried. All of these songs that are stories about the Dust Bowl. And so we've taken all of these songs that she has been writing for a long time and have put them into the play. So it's a play with music. And I have to also say that Mark Graham is in the show, and he is an amazing, amazing harmonica player.
Yes, he is.
And
you ever seen his record collection?
No.
Oh,
no.
My gosh. He has a collection of Americana music, old-timey and Americana music up in his attic that is astonishing. It's amazing that the floor can hold it all.
I'll have to ask him about
that.
More than that, I mean, he's also one of my favorite songwriters anywhere in the world.
He writes some very funny stuff, too.
He does, and he also wrote a song that's in the play.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
He wrote it in response to Rain, and so we end the first half with a recording of his song, and it looks like it's never going to rain, which is just amazing. And the reason I got into loving Irish music to begin with was because of a band that Mark was in the 70s that used to play at Sound Food.
Ah.
And I was interviewing him in the 80s for a songwriting column I was writing. And I said, you know what? I remember the first time I fell in love with Irish music. I remember the person's face and who was singing. And, oh, my God, it was you. It was just like that. I couldn't even take a breath. And he said, I did live on Vashon. I think I remember meeting you then.
Well, it's going to be a fantastic play. We're really looking forward to it. And then let's hear a song. And I got just a couple more questions for you.
So this is the one that ends the, I won't say very much about it. Except that I got it in a dream from Johnny Cash.
Okay.
He was singing it to a little boy, and when I woke up, I remembered most of this song, so.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you for invading Kat's dreams.
Yes, thank you, Johnny Cash, and sorry for the fur ball. It was just... Monday morning, you were born Tuesday you were walking, Wednesday you had learned to talk, you showed no signs of stopping. Thursday, Friday, I looked up, you were off and running. Where you'll go from here, I guess there's just no way of knowing. Oh, the days hurry on, always moving on and on. I have loved you from the dawn and will through the evening. Where you are, the spring has come and all the world is blooming. But summer brings the burning sun before you know it's coming. Here I stand at harvest time, soon it will be snowing. When winter trees hold blackbird leaves, it's then I must be going. Oh, the days hurry on, always moving on and on. I have loved you from the dawn and will through the evening. Maybe you'll grow big and strong and maybe you'll be lucky. I hope and pray your days are long and most of them are happy. And someday when you laugh or sing, or if you're sick or grieving, or when at last you're old like me, it's then you'll hear me singing. Oh, the days hurry on, always moving on and on. I have loved you from the dawn and will through the evening. Oh, the days hurry on, always moving on and on. I have loved you from the dawn and will through the evening.
Beautiful.
What's that song called again?
Well, we call it The Days. I didn't know what else to call it.
That works.
Sunrise, Sunset was already taken.
Yeah. That occurred to me, Cindy.
I'm sure.
10:36 here on the Morning Scramble with Jeff and Cindy Hoyt. Our guests are Kat Eggleston, Charlotte Tinkin. The play is The Cyclone Line this Friday and Saturday at the VCA. After the Dust Bowl, your dad moves to the Pacific Northwest? Did he go straight there, or?
No, he moved to California.
Uh-huh.
And that's and worked on the Gumby show later, you know.
Yeah.
And he moved to California with his family when he was just a kid, and then he went away. He went to college at Wichita University, where, oddly enough, that's where Brian Gunter went to school, too. And studied art and architecture, and he came back and re-met his family and grew up. Lots of stories in there that I never heard.
Uh-huh.
And then he met my mom, and mom was a teacher who worked with Ruth Clokey, who was Art Clokey's wife, Art Clokey, the originator of Gumby. They all got together, and dad being an artist, they started Gumby together.
Yeah, well, you know, Dust Bowl to Gumby is a logical transition.
Hey.
That
well, there's just more than that transition. The Gumby folks wound up here on Vashon Island.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, though, did he have a particular appreciation for rain when he moved to the Pacific Northwest that was probably profound?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. They really wanted to live in a green place. They both did.
Uh-huh.
Mom missed Iowa, but she got a letter from a friend who said, we have a new house in a meadow, and Mom burst into tears because they were living in L.A., in Whittier.
A meadow? We have a meadow?
Yes, some people can live in a meadow. So they moved us to a house in a meadow, and that's where it all started up here.
So, Charlotte, what do you envision for this play after it rocks the house this weekend?
I want it to
wave your magic wand.
Tour internationally.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has great legs and can go lots of places. And we're already talking about taking it to Chicago, where Kat spent a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a vision of it going lots of places, because I think it's a story that everybody can relate to in one way or another. It's not just about her father. It's about all of us dealing mm-hmm. with growing old and what happens when that happens, and about the cyclone line, which you should talk about why it's called the cyclone line, and about how memories are important. So,
yeah, it was the telephone. That was Dad's word for the telephone, for the party line that they had as a kid. He called it the cyclone line because it was a party line, and they would get on the phone and talk about the weather,
mm-hmm.
the good weather or the bad weather. You know, looking for where's that rain cloud going to be? Is that rain cloud over your property and that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And so it felt like a good vehicle for talking about bringing those voices forward, the ones that were mm-hmm. lost. Mm-hmm. So that's where that came from.
And about the fact that I think more and more we are not listening to the past anymore. We're not paying attention to...
At our peril.
...the past. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at our tremendous peril.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't start listening to the past again, we're going to be in worse trouble than we are now. And so I'm hoping that this can be a play about that. Pay attention.
Yeah.
We have been there, and here's what happened.
Well, we are so looking forward to it. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, Kay White Hall at the Vashon Center for the Arts, 7:30 p.m. both nights. Tickets, $18 general admission, $16 seniors, $14 for VCA members and students. You can get them at all the usual places. And,
of course, set in a state that had only been a state 1 year before the Cubs won their first World Series.
And it all comes back to the Cubs. Way to go, Cindy. Way to bring it home.
You know me. I like closure.
Kat Eggleston, Charlotte Tinkin, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for asking.
That was a pleasure. We will see you there tomorrow night.
Yay.
We've still got a couple of election songs laying around gathering dust. May as well roll them out.
Shake
here.
Shake them out.
Yeah, here comes Leonard Cohen. Democracy, it's a-coming. Going to get here any moment now. Oh, there it is on KVSH.
It's coming through a hole in the air.